Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crap Ends, the podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and that cough over there in the corner is Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. Are you okay? We really just
I'm great over here. Okay, I'm red as a beet now.
out of the box, we just killed this opening here. Yeah. I started talking. I was like, "What am I supposed to say?"
I'm actually a mess over here. Okay, I hurt my back, so I'm like holding onto walls to walk, you know, stand up and stuff. And Bueller hurt his toe and his eye. His like eyes hanging off. It's like his eyeballs. Like no, his eyeball's not hanging out, but right under his eye. We're a mess over here. Okay, yeah. That's what's happening. And then we open the episode with me hacking. So that's great. Let's just quit. Today's quit day. Bye.
Well, you know what? Sometimes you just infuriate me. So today we're talking about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Did I say our names? Ben Mandelker, Ronnie Karam. I don't know. I feel like I'm like out of it today. This is going to be a wacky recap. before we start, of course, a gentle reminder that on Mondays we have Take a Seat on Spotify Live. So come join us for that. We'll be talking about all the random stuff, probably even talk about, hear what you guys think about today's Beverly Hills episode. Also, this is a Crappens on Demand episode, and if you're just joining us, Crappens on Demand is when we flip on our webcams, and you get to watch us record the episode, not just listen. So usually there's something like Bueller in the background, although maybe Bueller's still nursing his injuries and isn't going to make a cameo appearance back there. But either way, go to patreon.com.
He's just hiding his face. Oh, he's embarrassed about his face.
Yeah.
That's his face, but he's hiding it.
Oh, it's his face. Oh, I see. He's playing all sorts of mind games. Go to patreon.com/watchforcrappins. There's all different types of tiers that you can support at. You can do the most basic tier is you just get the weekly bonus episode, which we do have a weekly bonus episode. Okay. We have several tiers, but at the Crappens on Demand level, you get to watch shows like today's, and you also get the bonus episode, and you also get access to the Discord server. So go check that out because it's super fun. You know, we mention it almost every episode, but it doesn't take away from the fact that it gives you the full Crappens experience. So that is that. Anything you want or need to add, Ronnie?
No. You know, all complaining aside, it is so nice to show up here. Like, this is the end of all the crap. It's like you struggle to walk and hold the walls to get here to talk about this bullshit that we love to watch.
Yeah.
Now, this is the episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills where Rinna, I don't know if someone was like, okay, Rinna, we need more from you. You know how Rinna does that thing every season where she just kind of comes on and sits around and smiles mm-hmm. and nods, and her entire season is usually like, how are you? That's all she does. And like yeah. when other people tell stories, she goes, I know. And she repeats exactly what they're saying, which she does a lot in this episode. She does that for a lot of the season. And then they're like, okay, Rinna, you're in. You know, it's like, get off the bench. And she just comes swinging. And she just starts, she picks one thing and just starts repeating it over and over again. This is the Elton John dinner.
Yeah.
And she just goes full villain. And gotta love it.
I mean, yeah,
well done. You're welcome.
She's going full. She's doing her thing. I mean, I feel like she's trying to make something happen here because she hasn't gotten to Kathy Hilton yet, which looks like it'll be the rest of the season. So she's just going to like use this Elton John thing for now, because Rinna's whole thing is that she likes to confront people with this is the harsh truth. And she doesn't really have any harsh truths to confront right now. So she just has to use Elton John, right? You know, like what else? Yeah. What does she have to say, right? So that's why she's waiting for Kathy Hilton, because she can say this is the harsh truth about whatever the fuck happened in Aspen, which we have to wait to find out. But anyway, the point is, right. Yes, you're correct. This is Rinna, like suddenly, like yeah. she's done charging. The iPhone is done charging in the corner, and now it could be taken off the cord, and be used properly.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. It's like the update is done, you know.
The air fryer is preheated, okay? It's like poop da
boo. Yeah.
So
software version 15.6 has been installed. And you're like, oh, now my messaging's fucked up. Great. Glad I pressed accept.
I would like a software.
It's like Rina comes back, but her wig's all shifty. You know, she looks kind of out of it still. You're like, well, you know, I knew this was a trial software update, but still pressed accept.
I'm going to need a software update to update us out of the bucket hat phase. I'll tell you that much. The episode opens up with Rina in a bucket hat, walking around her kitchen, just doing stuff. She's making hot water with lemon.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Did you say Gilligan's?
It's her like Gilligan Island hat. Yeah, it's like her Gilligan Island. Is that what he wore? I feel like he did wear this
probably
hat.
Yeah, but something it's kind like of, that. Yeah.
Her like little bucket hat, like it could be raining or she could be shipwrecked. And I was worried about this episode because it was way too much time spent on this. It's like, well, there's Rina in a bucket hat. Well, there's Rina cutting a lemon. Why does Rina have so many lemons? Keep the camera on the lemons. She's cutting it. She's still cutting it. She's moving her glass across the little plate that you put it on. What? Get to it.
I know.
Get to it. Show TikTok.
They had to sort of stretch their content this episode. It makes me wonder, sometimes when you have an episode where they stretch the content, it's because they just need to get to the cliffhanger so that way the next episode is good. Because I noticed like Rina Rosé party, they were stretching the content big time. Like almost everything they use as an excuse to do a flashback. They're like, wow, I just love these benches. And it's like season two, Dorit sitting on a bench. Like, I love benches. It's like, we don't need a flashback to Dorit's second season when she sat on a bench. You know, like they did a lot of those. Whenever they do like a ton of flashbacks, that means they got to fill that hour, you know?
Flashbacks to nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. So yes, Gilligan making tea. Okay. So then she's like, let's call some ladies. So she just sits down and starts calling people, and it's the saddest calling people to invite them over scene of all time because no one's really into it or can come or knows what she's talking about.
Yeah.
First she calls Diana, who is, so Rina's wearing a bucket hat that says like CC.
Chanel. Yeah.
Right. And then she calls Diana, who's wearing another brand.
Yeah. You know,
like an LV brand. And so it's like brand. It's like, let's see what brands everybody's wearing today. Mm-hmm. Let's just call everybody. See what brands are bragging about today.
Yeah. It's like going to the mall, which I did yesterday. I actually went to a mall yesterday. There was something funny to say about going to the mall yesterday. I don't remember. Oh, I want to give a shout out. Sorry. This is out of nowhere. I want to give a shout out to Ernie at Heath Ceramics, who is a Watch What Crappens listener, and he made my day. He was like, are you Ben from Watch What Crappens? I was like, yes, and it made me so excited. So shout out to Ernie at Heath.
Yes, Ernie. Hi, Heath Ceramics. So she calls Diana, and she's like, hey, beauty, I've got two C's on my hat. And it's like, I'm so sick of being sick. I have Gucci on my hat. I also have two C's. I'm like, oh, my God, what does this mean? So Kyle has COVID.
Yeah, Kyle's in COVID jail.
Yeah. Which proves that sometimes COVID, you know, has decent aim. Just kidding.
Also,
but yeah, everybody on this show has had it now.
Yeah. Also, I suspect that Lisa Vanderpump probably had it the week before, because Kyle really only does things that Lisa's already done. So
Kyle's like, I got COVID, which is so weird, because I think I got it while I was sitting on my pink floral swing that I had installed in the backyard with my 18 dogs and two goats.
I just got two mini horses. So then she moves on to basically like half the cast has COVID right now, like Crystal, Diana, Rina, and then Rina and Kyle. But Rina calls up Sutton to invite her. She's like, you can wear leather pants if you want to or not. You can do it. All right, producers, roll that flashback of Crystal. No, you're not going to do it. This is the one time you're not going to do a flashback to Crystal's band. Okay, I set you up, but that's okay.
Rina is both coming to do the I'm a villain now episode, and she's also doing the, like, I'm a dinner theater, you know, performer now, where she's like doing her Lisa Rinna at the Jupiter Dinner Theater. Lisa, give us your greatest hits. And she's like, hey, welcome. You can wear leather pants. She makes a lot of callbacks to earlier seasons this year. Like, hey, remember that one? Some people say I need to eat some bread. Hit it, Charles. And I was like,
yeah, there's a lot of cues to the orchestra. So, anyways, yeah, so she's doing this Rena Rosé party, and there's going to be signature cocktails, and Dorit's like,
ah, it's happening. It's finally happening. Are you going to be serving your wine in one of those fancy Jamie Lee Curtis cups that keeps things hot and cold?
Well, you know what? It's only going to be the six of us, Dorit. It's only going to be the six of us this time.
And Dorit's like, oh, I feel like the last one standing. I'm like, there's going to be six of you there. How are you?
I know.
You're the last one standing.
But it's only me, you're saying. No, there's going to be six. So just me then. Oh, Rena.
I love that. Like it's only going to be six of us. That's the size of a normal Housewives cast, by the way. Oh, guys, sorry. It's going to be kind of dead. Only six of us are going to be there.
Yeah, that's the size of a Housewives cast that does things.
Yeah.
For our entertainment.
Snap. Okay.
Cast.
Oh, Kathy.
True.
Kathy also has COVID,
I mean,
by
even
the way.
This plot line is stolen from another season. It's like the Vanderpump Rosé. It's such an obvious dig. You know, you're that petty that your dig even has to be stolen. It's like even your business has to be like a dig at somebody.
It just is so random, too. Like, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Rena Rosé, and they're trying to make it seem like, no, it's something she wants to do all this time. And they're like, remember that trip? I think everyone remembers our trip to Provence, right? They keep citing this trip to Provence as if it was like, God, iconic up there, Orange County going to Ireland or Scary Island. It was one of the worst cast trips of all time. That was the worst.
I mean, that was one of the worst of all of the cities.
That was a bad trip. That was worse than the Real Housewives of New Jersey having to like spend their cast trip in like a parking lot on like in California. It was worse than Real Housewives of New Jersey getting an Airbnb in Florida. Okay. That was like, it was so boring. That was truly one of the very, that was the same season that they kicked Vanderpump, not kicked Vanderpump, but ran her off the show. And they had this boring ass trip where they all wanted to prove how much fun they could be without her. And it was deadly.
While making a rosé in the same place that she makes a rosé. It's like, okay, you guys. So then we go to Waylon. Waylon, the dog / landscaper, as the Chiron tells us, ripping up the grass. Hi, meet your new best friend. The shot that's going to put you down. How dare you? Get your ass inside. That's what you tell him.
Yeah, so Sutton's like,
no. Listen, you said it. Motherfucker, get off that grass. Motherfucker, Joshua, go get him.
So then, of course, her dutiful, you know, gay assistant, Joshua, goes running out and has to take care of it. I love that it's Joshua that has to run after Waylon and not Sutton. It's Sutton's dog, but, like, she just stands there in the doorway and Josh has to go do all the dirty work.
Of course. Yes, you get an assistant. It also made me think, you know, how close I am to all of our gay brothers and brothers especially, because we're all really the same. Sometimes don't you just feel like a robot? I'm like, am I just programmed like this? Am I like a fleshy Westworld character and I don't even know? Because I see Josh, we both chase the dog the same way. This is how. Like, I think that's going to stop the dog. I really do. I think just going, it's going to stop him. And then I'm all upset that it doesn't work.
I'm like a slave to, I'm like a slave to like a strong woman also. Like, oh, could you go get that? Could you go get Waylon? I'm like, sure, anything. There's like something hardwired where like all of a sudden, like as just like obedient gay best friend, like, of course I'll do it.
Yeah. So she's like, hey, he's a maniac. All right, Philip. Welcome to television. So this is Sutton's made for TV children episode, where we get to see why Sutton's children are never on TV.
Yeah.
Okay.
She goes, well, since you asked about my chicken salad, which I think is a funny way to start a scene, because I actually do not believe anyone asked about the chicken salad, but she's just
literally like, nobody asked about your chicken salad. It's chicken with mayonnaise on it. Okay.
Same with Sutton's new podcast. Since you asked about the chicken salad.
You'll know how to make it for school.
So, yeah, there's not a Melania in this group of kids. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say that. So, which is fine. You know, it's like normal kids or whatever. Get off my TV.
It just means that you can eat salad from the supermarket freely. No child butts have been named.
We know that Philip is not sitting on the sushi at the supermarket, a la Melania. So, give me chicken salad, you old troll. So Sutton's like, yeah, he's making it. Phil, you asked about chicken salad? Here it is. And Porter comes in. She's like, hi. Both their kids are like, hi. Oh, we're making chicken salad? Yeah. That's good. I'm like, are you high? Are you both stoned? What's going on with your children?
No, they're like, hey, so I heard that Kyle's kids, they got to do a scene where they went on a yacht. What sort of scene do we get to do?
Chicken salad.
Okay. Sutton's chicken salad looked quite good. She's like, you know, the secret to a good chicken salad is a lot of mayonnaise. So most people think this looks gross, but it's not. It just sounds gross. I was like, you know what? I support this. It sounded like your garden party. It sounded like people walking around at her garden party. Now, the thing with Sutton, though, is she's making this chicken, this super mayo-y chicken salad, and she's chosen a tiny bowl and, like, an enormous paddle. It's like she found a canoe and was like, I'm like, Sutton, you got to work on your proportions here, okay? Like, big bowl, normal device there, okay?
I'm a big paddle user. I love a big paddle.
Well, but don't use a big paddle in a small bowl. If you're gonna mix, you need to give yourself enough space that you can mix properly. Because the whole thing is, if you have a small bowl, you're not gonna be able to mix well because you're so concerned about things tumbling off the edge. You're not gonna be able to really get in there. You're supposed to use high walls, big walls.
Okay, Trump. Okay, Trump's Trump chicken salad maker.
Build that bowl wall.
We don't want to take them mayonnaise. All right. So yeah, you're speaking like a person who doesn't have a dog, because people with dogs use whatever size bowl we want because the dog picks up everything that you drop off of the short bowl. Listen, this is how I choose a bowl. I choose a bowl like I catch Pilar and then I grab whatever's closest. Like, we don't even know that's Sutton's dog. He just grabbed the first animal he saw and brought it in.
All I know is that earlier this week, decided to make pasta in a smaller than usual pan because it had high walls. And I thought, you know what? This will be good because it has high walls. So that way when I mix it around, it'll hit the wall and won't fall out. No, there was enough room and I had to very gingerly stir things around and it made me mad. And so I did not want to see someone else make that same mistake. I want to help others right now.
Yeah, your big goal bowls. Is just to make it better for people.
I just want people really, to use big times. Bowls, big pans.
High bowls. High wall bowls. So that's this episode of Beverly Hills, everybody. In case you're wondering, why the fuck are they still talking about bowls? Because it's this episode of Beverly Hills, okay? So yeah. Just strap in, because it's going to be 5 hours of
I blame this. Ernie, because okay? I bought a bowl. I bought a ceramic bowl.
So engraved. So
it said Sutton on it. It was so weird.
Sutton. Let's see. So they're talking about how one of the kids had a birthday and they all went skydiving and even Philip went. Mm-hmm. And everyone's shocked that Philip went. And I'm like, you're shocked that Philip went? Why? And then it cuts to Philip and he's like, yeah, I went skydiving too. Yeah, Philip looks terrified to skydive. Philip looks terrified to go outside. Has Philip been here this whole time under a table?
Philip is continuing the grand tradition of Real Housewives children who have very big expressive mothers, and then they're counterbalance.
They're terrified. This is what PTSD looks like from growing up with a crazy mother.
I mean,
okay,
you would think he was on the Real Housewives of Atlanta, to be honest.
Hey, Riley, you home? I'm home.
Hey, Kim.
Riley, are you home? I'm home. Riley, are you home? I'm home.
Kayla, have you seen Riley?
No. I was hanging out with Cairo.
Oh, Cairo, you're here too?
I think she's home.
Yeah, I'm here too.
Yeah, I'm gonna... Just had a little chicken salad and we're on Sunday nights. So... Sutton's like, oh my God, that fridge. We are going to get a new fridge.
Probably by summer. Supply chains, I'm sure. So, sorry, Porter. Porter, don't go. Close your eyes while you go to the fridge. Porter's like, Mom, it's fine. They're all looking at the fridge, judging that fridge. That fridge looks amazing, by the way, okay?
It's a beautiful fridge. I'm sorry.
It's a beautiful fridge. I'm so sorry you have to deal with this fridge.
I know. Guys, children, please do not judge me by this beautiful $15,000 Bosch fridge. It will be replaced soon enough, but until then, we will have to deal with the indignity of having more than enough space for all of our goods.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So she's like, so, Porter, working at the store, has that made you feel valuable? And she's like, yeah. And Philip's like, well, retail makes you feel valuable? And Sutton's like, yes. Well, I mean, you wanted to work at Chipotle. Isn't that funny how Chipotle has that pull on children? Because both of my nieces, when they were younger, where do you want to work? They were like, here, at Chipotle.
But you know what's funny?
It's like magical to kids.
You know what's funny? When I went to the mall yesterday, I went to Chipotle for the first time in a very long time. And I was like, you know, I'm going to go to Chipotle. Because it's either Chipotle or some weird sandwich weird thing. So I was like, I'm going to do Chipotle. And I was like, man, the people who work at Chipotle, the bullshit that they have to deal with from us. Because I was like, I'm going to have a burrito, please. And I'm going to do the pollo asada or whatever it was called. And then she's like, okay. And I was like, and I'm like, also, I'll have some guacamole and cheese and picadillo. She's like, yeah, well, you can tell him that. I was like, oh, man, she must have to do that every 2 minutes. Like, just tell me the protein you want. Don't tell me anything more. And I'm giving her everything. I was like, man.
Whatever. They could be more specific. Get out of here with the you tell him that. How the fuck should I know? You're both standing behind it. Okay. Move away from the fucking pico de gallo then.
I felt bad. I know. I mean, listen, I was the best. The people behind me were even worse. Okay. Like I'm saying, I was bad, but people get even worse. So, you know.
Well, it does. Chipotle does teach you lessons, you know, like Philip. Like more Chipotle teaches you valuable life skills. You know, you learn that guac isn't free and it's not free for anyone ever. It's guacamole at Chipotle is the great human equalizer. Okay.
It's not.
You're all going to pay for it. And then you're all going to sit there and wonder, was this worth the $2? Was it really worth it?
They marked that shit up. They marked that shit up. My burrito, when everything was said and done, because I got premium chicken apparently, and because I got that guacamole, my burrito with the soda was $17. And I'm like,
that's premium chicken? What the fuck is that?
Well, no, that was the.
Was it like college educated chicken?
They have.
Like, what kind of chicken
they
was
have a
it?
New, they have like a new chicken at Chipotle. Like, they.
It's, like STD tested chicken? What the fuck makes that chicken so special?
Well, honestly, because it was like, oh, it's cooked with lime and chilies, whatever. Honestly, it was delicious. Like, I don't think I'm ever not going to get it. I think
so
it's
worth
it. So
what's the other kind? Trash chicken?
It is. Now it's trash chicken. Now we've gone. We have trash chicken. We have Teddy Mellencamp chicken now. And I don't think I can go
Hi,
back.
I'm trash chicken.
I'm Teddy Mellencamp chicken.
I'm Teddy trash chicken.
I have to look up. Okay, while you talk, I'm going to look up the name of this premium chicken because it was actually so good. But it made my burrito expensive, y'all.
Well, that's what you get with your fancy chicken.
Oh, apparently.
So Sutton tells us Philip was going to join the army, but he's been so comfortable, and that's why he wants to go, to like make him feel like a real man or something. And so she was like, oh, you're too comfortable? Then I'll make you uncomfortable. So I sent him to Georgia in 105 degree weather, and he had to get a job delivering vending machine Cokes at 5 a.m. in the morning. And so I picked him up, and he said, I'll go to college now, mother.
I was actually pretty impressed that she, oh, by the way, it's pollo asado. That's the new Chipotle. I recommend it to everyone, but just know you're going to be paying $45 for your burrito. But I was impressed that Sutton sent her kid down to Georgia to be a vending machine, like stalker. I would not expect that from her. I thought she'd be like, so I decided to send him to the mines. I made him an intern at ABT. He had to fetch coffee for all the ballerinas. I was like, oh, real tough.
But I like that you keep them grounded by just doing one little thing. You know, it's like, she said she didn't want to wear a jacket, so I put her in freezing weather for 5 seconds and pulled her back in. She said, can I have a jacket now?
Well, listen, That's as long as it takes.
Right? Yeah, whatever works. He won't be ordering trash chicken anymore. I'll tell you.
I'll tell you. If you want to,
So let's move on.
Yeah, I can't.
Chicken scene. God, I don't know why we're it's even my still fault. In it.
I've really extended
I'm embarrassed
it.
We're
I've,
still here, honestly.
I have really, really leaned into all the tangents on this scene, and I apologize. Okay.
So Grace and Dorit. Oh, Garcelle and Dorit. I write it as Garce. So Garcelle and Dorit go to dinner, which is weird. And so Garcelle's like, are we hugging? And Dorit's like, I just hate the thought of not hugging. I just hope we never get to that place. Now, you know, there's some people I know who say, I'm just never going to hug again after COVID. Never going to hug again.
She better get her monkeypox vaccine. That's what I got to say. So,
I think they said they're never going to hug PK again. Okay. They're just saying, look, Dorit, please stop telling me to go hug PK. I'm never going to hug PK again. Okay. Last time I walked off with like a little bit of Butterfinger right here on my right breast and then like a face print of like gray makeup base foundation right here on my shoulder. Okay, I'm never hugging BK again. So keep that fucker away from me.
So then Garcelle basically says that, you know, last year they had some conflict, but it's all a wash now. So then
What was that conflict? Can we have a flashback? Because I certainly don't remember what it is. Gee, I feel like you're poking at me. Poking at me.
Little jabs.
Almost like bullying. Bullying, almost.
It's like bullying jabs. Okay, little bullying jabs. You know, it's almost like you go after me. It's like you go whichever way the wind blows. And I know which way the wind is blowing because I got the most chic wind chimes of all time.
So then they order their drinks, and Dorit's like, I'll have a vodka on 3/4 cup of ice with 3 lemons squeezed. Wait for it. Carcassat!
Imagine if she worked at a morgue. Just like piles of
Why
bodies.
Why are there all these bodies on the floor? Well, you said carcass out, ma'am. I was ordering a martini.
I was just trying to have a little afternoon martini before we get back to the cadavers.
Ow.
Oh, don't laugh
Sorry,
too hard.
I laughed too hard.
Carcass I laughed out.
Carcass out.
So, you know, there is a very popular board game called Carcassonne. So it's like she has the opposite board game, Carcass Out.
Anyway, is it about dressing lemons?
No, because there's a town in France called Carcassonne. That's what it's Carcassonne. Oh, anyway, it's not
Carcassonne.
Really. Carcassonne. So Garcelle is doing the audio portion of her book, and she's now telling stories that she never thought she'd be telling. And Dorit,
like this one. Well, that is the reason I posed for Playboy. Okay. If you want to know the beginning of that sentence, you will buy the book. Garcelle by Garcelle.
Another story. And that is why I'll never be able to go back to Trash Chicken. For the full story, download my book. Garcelle Grace Garcelle.
So she's like, it's really scary telling people things. And Dorit's like, well, not many people have the, forgive the cajones. Forgive me for saying this word, but the cajones to put it out there. Not people do.
She's turning into Yoda. So then, and then Garcelle's like, well, I did have an experience with Bill Cosby that wasn't very good. And that's
well,
that.
I know it's exciting, and I know it's worrying, but you did it! You did it! And she's like, well, you know, there were things I thought I had peace around, but then the book, I wrote them all down, and the book said, no, it's haunting you. Also, every time I finish a page, I just hear this little voice inside my head saying, carcass!
I'm literally haunted by a carcass that is out.
So Garcelle's like, well, I've been meaning to talk to you. I read about PK's DUI. And Dorit's like, allegedly. Allegedly. I said, listen, everyone suffers from a little ennui. And then he's pulled over for a DUI. I said, police officer, listen, my accent is from all over the world. It doesn't mean you have reason to pull over, PK.
Gee. Allegedly, it was a DUI, but they never booked him. They never processed him. And when he got to the station, he was under the limit. And then I said, and then they said, I'm sorry, but you have to get home somehow, some way.
And so Garcelle's like, they did.
Turns out the first time they were measuring blood sugar alcohols, and he had just had a Captain Crunch peanut butter sandwich. I said, PK, you should never have Captain Crunch and drive. I'd kill him if he hadn't already explicitly stated that in his will he is to be buried in a pit of crunch berries. He said he can only be buried if it's buried style. I said, listen here, PK, I've had enough of your ennui. Woo, 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 pulled over booking.
Unfortunately, they were using the wrong breathalyzer, the one that tests the amount of Pringles in your blood. So naturally, he was very high. But when they got back to the station, everything was normal.
He was driving under the influence, all right, of Cheeto Poofs.
Well, they asked him to recite the alphabet backwards, and unfortunately he spelled out P-R-I-N-G-L-E-S. Natural mistake.
Well, thankfully, the police took him home, and they were pretty good-natured about it. They showed up to the door, and Officer Krupke said, listen here, don't ever let that man hug me again.
So good to hug him again.
So, Garcelle's like, well, that would never happen in my world, because anyone who's black, I mean, that would never happen, ever. So,
did they stop and get him a steak, too? Which is kind of what we said last week, yep. Too. Like, wow, that's a great police department when you're rich. Everybody else I know is terrified of the LAPD, okay? The rest of us, they pull over and, like, hold their guns to their side and look at you like, ugh. But you're rich. They're like, hey, would you like to stop and grab something? You cold? Hey, you know what? There's a Snuggie store up ahead. You know, it's like a blanket, but it's also something to snuggle with. Come on.
Well, don't forget, Kyle becomes very scared when she sees a police officer. So, like, you know, she's just like us. So then, so now they're talking about going to Rinna's wine tasting. And they're just like wondering if Erica's going to have wine. And Garcelle says that she saw Erica the night before, and Erica admitted that she can't be drinking because of her medication. And she's like, and she, I mean, did she tell you that she fell and hit her head?
Bubbly. She hit her head. Did she get a DUI?
So,
Yes, well, that's what I've heard. I mean, she's got to figure it out. But, you know, she did say something interesting. She said that being Sutton's friend is a liability to me. What does she mean by that?
Well, by being friends with her, I guess it's detrimental to me. And so Garcelle says that, like, maybe Erica was trying to give me a compliment, that they would like her, like Garcelle, more if she weren't so close to Sutton. But it's not really a compliment, because it means that, like, Garcelle can't handle herself on her own and that Sutton's going to take her down, etc. So she's like, I don't know. If she basically took it as a backhanded compliment.
And Dorit's like, well, I think if your friend falls, you're not really a Thelma Louise type, are you? Like, if your friend falls off the cliff, you take a dive with them. You're not Thelma Louise. I see you more as a Rocky and Bullywinkle. Like Bullywinkle.
Yeah, I mean, you're not the type that'd go over the cliff, but you'd give someone something to help them, like maybe the most chic rope you've ever seen before in your life from Jamie Lee Curtis.
Maybe you'd offer them a wonderful police officer who'd help lower a Snuggie to pull them back up the mountain.
So then we go over to Erica's house, her tiny little shack, and she's there with Mike. Mikey's making coffee for the group. Jack, the publicist, is there. Laya. Now, I like that Erica is saying that Sutton is like a liability for... for Garcelle. I'm like, Sutton, you, I mean, Erica, you literally have a friend named Laya. Like, you're already like halfway there with a liability, basically. I mean, Laya does not seem like a liability, but I'm just saying, like,
let's go to Laya.
Laya, Bill, Eddie,
I don't want to. Laya, Bill.
Oh, who's using my espresso machine that you guys bought for me, huh?
Wow, Erica, really? You're having your employees buy you a coffee machine? Come on. I know you've had a rough time, but that's too much.
And then they have to pour it. They have to make it for her. I guess they are employees, mm-hmm. But they're also friends, allegedly. So Mikey's like, okay,
employees.
We need to have a team catch up on Pretty Mess Hair, okay? So, like, we have to get the word of mouth going. We need to get it out to, like, publicists and everything. And Erica starts doing her PSA. She's like, not PSA, but her like, her pay, her infomercial. She's like,
listen, everyone's always adding hair in. Every show that you do, going out on a date, hair, it's what makes the world go round. Am I right, everyone? Thank you.
You ever seen somebody shopping at a Target without hair? My point is made. Hair.
They got a musical based on hair. Got hair? Hey, you got a musical called Hair. You can't do hair without hair. Am I right, everyone? Hair.
I want to do billboards that say, got hair? And then right above your lip, we can put a mustache made out of. Get this. Hair.
That is what mustaches are made out of.
Well, milk then. Fuck it. Let's just do milk or something. It may not look like hair, but everybody will say, hey, that bitch looks fucked up. I'm going to get a wig. Hey, I'm in my car without hair on. Wah!
I got an idea. Okay, we'll make a tree, and in the tree there are a bunch of elves, and the elves make hair.
Those are the Keebler elves. I think we need to choose a different campaign.
So Mikey's like, speaking of mates or whatever. Oh,
he makes a very awkward transition.
Didn't you say someone's husband has the perfect candidate for you? And she's like,
well, I don't know if it's perfect or not, but Maurizio did say that he knows someone with breathing with the PIN number for a Wells Fargo account.
Yeah, well, there's this guy I know. He's like an NFL player, and he's really great. He's very NFL. Funny.
Yeah,
he had some legal issues around 94. He did have 94. Like a low-speed thing on the 405, but he loves golfing. Totally exonerated. He's wonderful. Lives in Florida now, and someday he'll find out who killed his wife. So I don't know. I think that you guys might be a great match. I don't know.
Wow. Devastating. Mwah. I'd like to welcome Camille back for this lovely flashback and a show of flashbacks.
I am so intrigued to know who Maurizio is trying to set Erica up with. NFL player who's also a gold medalist.
I don't know. That's not my world. Yeah, that's not my world. I don't get it. You know, I even see a box of Wheaties and I'm like, stop bullying me. Fuck you. So Jack is like, Erica's like,
I just need to get some dick.
And Jack tells her, you just need to go through your DMs. I mean, I'm sure there's dick in there. Lots of heterosexual dick looking for you, Erica, I'm sure, in your DMs. And Erica's like,
well, I need someone to do that for me. You'd be perfect, Jack. Why don't you do it?
And she's like, you know what? Like, the texting game, you know, I told you, right, that I texted the wrong person the wrong thing, right? I thanked him for some good dick. By the way, did I tell you guys that's today's phrase? Good dick, because I'm going to say it everywhere I can. So I was thanking him for some good dick, and he's like, what are you talking about? I was trying to give you some good dick, that is. You ever heard of that phrase, good dick? It's what kids say, so I'm saying it. Good dick. I'm looking for some good dick.
It's just so cringe. So Mike's like, next. Mikey's like, okay, next cue. You've already said the good dick thing 5 times. Let's move on to the next cue. And so Erica goes,
okay, so get into this. I decided to be a part-time double matrix.
Jack is like, you are really pushing the limits of my ability to be just like, like a yes man right now. Like, are you sure you want to do this?
Well, I was having an intimate moment with this person, and he said you'd be a great dominatrix. And I said you'd be great at selling timeshares in the Cayman Islands. Then we fucked a lot, and he moved right into Daddy's office. Miss your army, Hammer, give me a call. Not that I'm going to say his name here on camera.
Hey, has anyone ever dabbled with cannibalism? I don't know, someone put it in my head recently. Thought I'd... Jack, what about you?
Listen, I'm not going to say much about this mystery person who's a neighbor named Army Hammond that lives right down the street from me that I sent a DM and said I want to fuck you, Army. But I will say this, he does tickle the ribs.
Listen, I'm not going to use his name, so let's just call him Navy Mallet, okay? Listen, he gets kind of kinky and I like it. Jack, where you going, Jack?
He's like, I'm going back to representing Gretchen Rossi. I can't deal with this anymore.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
I love the idea of Armie Hammer and Erika Jayne just being fucked, like living on the same street and getting canceled at the same time and fucking, like, oh my God, now I was canceled. What are we going to do?
I could be a dominatrix.
My dad does own some timeshares.
Fuck yeah, let's do it.
They are literally turning into an Elmore Leonard novel. I actually this would be something I'd be totally down with, like Armie Hammer and Erika Jayne having some weird con down in the Cayman Islands where he's like, selling timeshares. She goes in as a dominatrix and they're robbing the people. And I'm like, actually, yes, I would love to see this scheme play out.
Not Private Dick by Elmore Leonard.
So Erica's like,
yeah, I could be a dominatrix because I'm bossy. I like to administer a little bit of pain for pleasure. I also like latex. You want to play cue me in Berlin, dress all in latex? No, not a, okay, not this time. All right, don't understand your logic of when you play the flashbacks, but that's okay. But I do like costumes. And she goes, I know there are people that like that as well. And I don't want anyone stealing any trademarks. Hey, call our trademark lawyer. We need to make sure we trademark the nothing I just said.
Pretty mess, mess, mess. Dominatrix mess. It's pretty.
I'm like, that name, Pretty Mess, literally doesn't work for any business that you've come up with so far. Okay?
Pretty Mess Dungeon.
You need a different. You need a different name. Pretty Mess does not work for hair, and it certainly does not work for a dominatrix. Okay.
How about we call it Welcome to the Dungeon?
Candy Burris is like, you think you're the first one to do a dungeon thing on Bravo?
So Eric is like, who knows narcissistic older rich men better than me?
Who knows that line better than me?
So, I mean, wow. Erica's downfall is much like her success. Isn't it crazy? It's just lower rent. I guess it's like when you stop being like a professional theater actor, you're still playing Willie Loman. It's just, you know, on a stage where people are eating, you know, grilled salmon right in front of you instead of on Broadway.
Well, listen, her ascent, her descent is just like her ascent. Pretty much uninteresting. So then, wasn't that interesting. It's not, the stories about her rising up have not been that interesting. The stories like her success was never really that interesting, and now her downfall.
The fashions are even just as tacky and terrible. They just cost a lot less, you know? Yeah. But so I'm pretty amazed at how she's hanging on here. Got to give credit where credit is due. Do not give her credit, okay? You will never get it paid. So don't give her credit. I just mean, like, the figurative credit.
Listen, I'm telling you, lean into the small-time crook lifestyle with Armie Hammer. Just do it down in the Cayman Islands. I'm down for it. She refuses to lean into the things that she needs to lean into. You know, that's all. She just needs to lean into the right things, and then I'll be 100% behind her. So now, Rinna and Sutton go to a restaurant called Lumiere, which I felt like was a passive aggressive dig at Asher a little bit. Just like the whole Beauty and the Beast thing. It's like, wow.
Oh.
Not even going to chip. So. Sutton meets up and she's like, I am so congested. I think it's because I've been snorting chicken salad for 3 days, if you know what I mean, Lisa.
And she's like, yeah, hi, Sutton. I'll have a steak frites medium. Oh, and a glass of rosé. I'm going to have my own rosé waiter, okay? Rinna rosé, don't have it. You will soon.
Sutton starts off in a very passive-aggressive place. She goes, I'm going to order some bread. And Rinna just looks at her like, oh, you bitch. Forcing me to have bread on camera. She's like, you eat bread, don't you? She goes, I do eat bread. I never pass up a piece of bread. Even though I've been told to have a piece of bread once in a while. Roll the clip. We're doing it this time. We got a clip ready to go.
Remember that one, audience? So we see the clip of, yeah, maybe you should eat some bread sometimes, Lisa. Maybe you can remember things.
So they're talking about wine, and the Rinna Rosé that's coming up on Sutton's like, I want to see the bottle. You know, I don't know why you don't consult with me. And Rinna goes, because I don't have to. Now let me laugh to make it sound like that was a joke. And then,
but I do have very good taste. Just, I know, but I do too. So I don't need to ask you things. And Sutton's like, well, okay. Well, you know, I just always love when we get together and have lunch. You are a motherfucker. I'm sorry. It just comes out now, random time. But I do love seeing you. I love having lunch with you. And Rinna's like, oh my God, you are always saying that every time you say that. Every single time. She goes, well, I do. And people say, you know, why? Why do you like Rinna so much? And I say, because I do. I like her. And Rinna's like, yeah, I know. People think I'm such a fucking bitch. I mean, really? People are so scared of me.
Son goes, I'm
can we get Garcelle in here with her footlocker dress? I just need someone in the proper attire to say, ma'am, the shoe fits. Okay, my work here is done. I'll take my footlocker dress and leave.
So Sutton's like, I'm not scared of you, motherfucker. And then Rinna's like, you are at times. You are. Just that one time. And so then we got a flashback of Tablegate earlier this season. And Rinna's like, you know, I don't want to hold on to this. I don't want to carry it. There are times when you're infuriating, and it makes me mad when I think about it, and it makes me want to freaking strangle you. There are those times. I would say those are all the time. In fact, I think it's happening right this moment. But I'll be honest about that. And at the end of the day, it's been a while, and it was silly. And you know what? You shouldn't have done it. And you know what? You did say you were sorry. And you know what? I had to move on. And you know what? I am moving on. And you know what? We laughed the other day. And you know what? We went to Kathy's house. And I guess I was talking shit about you. And you know what? Let's roll the clip.
You know what? I think I'm going to keep torturing Sutton over it because I just love to. I love to torture Sutton. So we cut back and she's like, yeah, it is kind of fun. It's fun for me to torture you. And Sutton's like, okay, well, at least you know I can take it, I guess. Okay. My son does deliver Cokes at 5 a.m. to vending machines. So I'm one tough bitch.
Tough bitch with tough children who eat tough chicken salad. So then Rinna's like, I'm like a pussy cat. And Sutton goes, you're more like the Grinch. Wait, but listen, because the Grinch's heart gets bigger and bigger and bigger, okay? And Rinna's like, my heart is big. I just happen to have a very big mouth on top of a big heart. These two hate each other.
They hate each other, and it's the most awkward scene. I guess they made them have lunch. I'm not really sure why they're having lunch or why Rinna's bringing up the Elton John thing when it was kind of proven that she was full of shit in the first place. I mean, even with all the receipts she posted, I was like, this is iffy at best. Why are you bringing this up again?
Yeah.
Why? Like, it doesn't really make you look good to bring this up again. It doesn't make you look terrible. It's a petty thing, but I don't know. This is when they were like, Rinna, you need to do something. Get off the bench. And she's like, okay, Elton John, you're a bitch. Yeah. So then we go to Eric. Everybody's getting glammed for this rosé party. And Sutton is telling her friend Ploy, he's like, I had lunch with Lisa. And, you know, I like Lisa. And they're all like, why? And she goes, yeah, I told them. Everyone asked me why. Everyone asked me why. So
just throwing me in there. And then Diana, Dorit's FaceTiming with Diana, and Dorit's like, hello, beauty. And Diana is still in isolation, and she's like, you know, it's almost hilarious how much we have done the past 2 years to avoid COVID, and it took us down, and now there's no escaping it.
Yeah, I mean, I hid 2 months on deserted. I hid 2 years on deserted island. I just stood at front door saying, "Jeffrey, open, open, Jeffrey, open. Galen, answer your text, sissies."
You know, I was on desert island for so long avoiding COVID, but you know, after a while, you can only listen to Asher not hit the high note on O Holy Night before you say, "Give me the disease already."
So, Erica's driving and talking to Kyle on the phone. I thought we were going to have a Kyle-free episode, but we were close.
Close.
We were close, but alas, no cigar. So, Kyle's here, and she's talking about quarantine, but she did adopt a new puppy. Kyle, Smokey. Stop.
Not to be confused with Foofy or any of other Lisa's dogs.
Yeah, I just felt for the dog. Like, you're too cute for this. You're too cute. So then, blah, blah, small talk, small talk. So Crystal and Sutton are talking on the phone because Crystal's also sick. And Sutton's like, "Sick? Hi, sicky. Well, I thought I'd swing by and pick you up. I mean, I do keep offering to bring you soup. I just want that noted next year when I'm alone on Christmas wondering where the hell you are and when you're not by my side." So.
And Crystal's like, "Well, I gained 5 pounds. I guess, who cares? She goes, "I'm just lying here and eating," which, by the way, that was my entire COVID experience. I think I gained 7 pounds. I just was.
Oh, shut up. That's my entire fucking adulthood. I'm so sick of listening to people with their COVID nightmares. Like, "All I did was stay in bed and eat." I'm like, well.
It's true, though. I ate like a lot of shit. So I'm telling you, I went to the mall yesterday. I saw myself in mirrors, and I'm working through that right now. So Sutton is like, "Listen, just take care of yourself. That's all you can do. And I will give you a full update. Goodbye, motherfucker." So
oh, wait, I just wanted to say one more thing. I like Lisa Rinna.
Why?
I just love hearing that. Why? Why? Makes me laugh every time. All right, thanks a lot, Crystal.
Hi, you know what? Hey, driver, I like Lisa Rinna. Could you put on some music?
Why?
I wasn't expecting Annie Lennox, but that'll do.
So Lisa and Harry are setting up. The only place you're allowed to be in Lisa Rinna's house is outside.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or that kitchen.
The inside the must kitchen. Be missing like walls, and like I imagine the ceiling is falling in. I don't know what the fuck is going on. If the rats have just taken over and now they're actually walking around talking to each other in the other rooms, I don't know. But we're only seeing the kitchen and the outside.
I'll tell you what happened. Lisa did not finish tooth chopping her pillows. She's like, "They can't come in here. I've got a pillow that looks like a square. Okay. I can only chop so many pillows."
So Lisa is like blowing the, you know, the leaf blower stuff all over the patio. And she's like, "I'm so good at blowing. I could blow all day long." And Cherie, that's Cherie's cue to make some blowjob jokes. So Cherie comes in. Now Cherie's in some trouble. Do you know about this stuff?
No, I did not hear about this. What happened? I don't know.
Cherie has, I guess, an online store where she's been selling counterfeit shit. From Alibaba. She's ordering it off Alibaba and selling it on her store. And a lot of them are obvious knockoffs, so I don't think she's trying to pass off as real, like Versace or whatever. But
like
then some of them are like big
shirts.
Yeah, but some of them are like big Versace earrings that say Versace all the way around. But yeah, so she's in trouble. And then people were posting on her Instagram, they were posting screenshots of her Instagram where she was posting like, "I believe in blessings and sending people blessings. Here's my Venmo to send me blessings." It's like, ooh.
Good for you, Cherie. That's good for you, because if you're going to be on Bravo and not be a grifter, that's not going to work out. So thank you for rising to the challenge. Thank you.
Yeah, everybody's been very like, "Oh my gosh, Cherie, queen, next housewife, give her full time." And I don't dislike her. I don't like her really or dislike her because she hasn't done anything.
She hasn't done anything. You know? I'm sorry.
She's done nothing to really deserve that praise, but she hasn't really done anything to deserve my ire either. So I'm just kind of waiting and seeing, you know? I'm like optimistic, but I haven't seen that level where I'm like, "Yes, oh my god, living queen."
Yeah, I don't
but
get it.
This definitely is a good mark on her resume.
Yeah, like I love some shadiness. Yeah, Cherie, I mean, she seems nice. She's nice, but she hasn't added anything. She hasn't been, she's just sort of like chirps in the background and is sort of like
she's like nice, you know.
She is the thing that allows the main cast member to move their story forward. You know, it's like,
Cherie, did I tell you about the Pringles? No, tell me more. Okay, let me tell you more.
It's like, okay, Cherie is there to help the dialogue go forward, you know?
Yeah. So everybody starts coming over. Sutton's in pink pants, and Rinna's like, leather pants, audience! Leather pants! Like, this is shiny denim or something.
It's wax denim. Wax denim.
Wax denim, okay. And... let's see. Dorinda's like, this is 3 years in the making. 3 years plus a 70-something-year-old Vanderpump.
And then she starts clapping. She starts doing her bubbly clap. She's like, ah! So then Erica shows up, and she's like,
I dress up like a human rose. A rose with hair. Every flower needs hair. Get your flowers hair, everybody.
Everybody's getting hair. Rosé's getting hair.
And so she orders a chamomile to drink, which, you know, will last about 5 minutes. Erica has like runny willpower. So I'm like, enjoy that chamomile appetizer before your drunk ass entree, you know. So they're making small talk, and Cherie is like, you know, well, listen, Erica, it'll warm you up. You can have some tequila. And she goes,
tequila. Last time I saw you.
And Cherie's like, what did I do? She goes, no. You were just there to witness me because I'm not supposed to be drinking all my medications. But I have been. She gets in her Erica serious voice.
This is the after school Erica special. Erica could be an alcoholic. Talk to your mother about this if you've got any problems with it. Okay, kids? Okay, I'm
back. You never know when I'm going to go running through a glass window because of all the drinking and the drugs I've been doing.
I was like, I think that was Helen Hunt in an after school special, but that's okay. You could do it too.
So Dorit's like, well, I witnessed what Erica's talking about the other night, and it's going to make me think after talking to Garcelle. Do I need to keep an eye on Erica? We're all counting on you, Dorit.
Well, keep an eye on PK first. So Garcelle is...
Yeah, no kidding. Your husband, who was just caught with the driving under the influence of, you know, fucking Pringle, chocolate-covered Pringles, could probably use your eye a little more.
You can't spell do I keep an eye without D-U-I.
So...
It almost sounds the same, because it's a D for do, and then the U for do, and then the I for I. See, it works.
So
do you keep an eye?
We're going to have to source that one out to Boy George to fix out those lyrics.
So Garcelle arrives in a giant, but a big yellow frock that says Balenciaga all over it. And someone's like, Garcelle. Who makes your sweater? That was a joke, everyone. That was a joke. Rinna, stop staring at me that way. It was a joke, you small-hearted Grinch face. Okay, it was a joke.
Well, aren't you making fun of me, labels? Wait a second. I vaguely remember some bully winkling.
So Harry comes out and he's like, hey, everybody. Hot zone here. Hey, welcome to the hot zone. And he's fist bumping. And he's like, whoa, Erica, I don't even want to fist bump you. What is that on your wrist or on your finger? And she's like,
it's my panther, sparkly, sparkly. I'll tell you who's not going to get any of this. Anyone whose name rhymes with Ittles or Forfins. That much, motherfucker. All right.
I got this from someone because they said that they were going to give me some good dick.
It's my phrase, everyone. So Harry Hamlin's like, well, everyone, here's the tea. Made with anthrax, the hot zone. Thank you. So Rinna's like,
well, Harry and I did all of this because everyone has COVID. That's right. We had to make the ultimate sacrifice and create a charcuterie board on our own. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I did the blowing. I'm so good at blowing. And Dorit's like, I know, we've read the book. And by read the book, I mean we saw clips about a book on television that she claimed to have read with your vagina. I might have gotten details of that incorrect. PK filled me in.
I wrote a book. The book on how to get some good dick. Yeah.
So Cherie is like, well, let me ask you something, Harry. If you had to write a Yelp review of Lisa's blowjobs, give us a 1 to 5. And Erica's like, well, okay, on a scale of 1 to 5, how are the blowjobs there? And he's like, well, I couldn't respond to that because I would give it a 10. Welcome to the hot zone. Welcome to the mother effing hot zone, ladies.
Wow, Tom Brokaw's horny. Hey, let's talk about Diana's party, okay? I had asked her if, Crystal, that is. Let's talk about Crystal at Diana's party. I'd asked Crystal if she'd ever seen professional help. Well, actually, technically, I said you should use laxatives as another way of purging your system. But I also, what I meant to say was, have you ever seen professional help? And she said no.
I said, listen, what are you going to try and eat a chicken tender, bulimic bitch? Am I right, everybody?
I'm like, whoa, guys, are we really going to go here in this episode right now? Not, yeah. We don't need to go here, okay? And Dorit's like, well, we recently went to Craig's.
Oh, he's got a big old dick, man. That's a good dick.
The restaurant, Erica.
Right, never been there.
Great. Do they have hair there?
Well, did anyone have hair there? Do you know someone I can contact about bringing hair to Craig's?
Well, I sat next to Crystal, and she spent over an hour, and she said she's okay, but she's vomiting every day. I was like, oh my God, thanks, you Dorit, guys.
That, I'm sure she really loved you just like broadcasting that to the group and on television. God, it just says it just like that. And let me tell you something. If it were Sun who had said that, it would be scenes of Kyle being like, I just don't think that's like right. She just says that. Like, that should be private. That's just not right. But Dorit just blabs it out. And it's like, okay, cool.
Oh, my God. And Dorit's like, Cherie's like, you mean like self-induced? And Sutton goes, well, she didn't tell me about that. Also, Sutton is wearing a blouse with not a pussy bow. I don't know what you call it. It looks like the waddle of like probably a person 5 times Sutton size. It's just like this flesh-toned crazy waddle coming out of her neck, and it makes it very hard to concentrate.
It is a lot. It was a lot of ruffle, you know? Yeah. So Dorit is like, well, clearly if she's talking about it, it's a sign that she really needs help. So then Rinna talks about how like when her daughter went through it, they immediately got her into therapy. You know, and they don't understand why Crystal's not getting into therapy because like everyone in the family and the husband seems to know about it. So it's not like it's a secret. So it's like, I think it's to me, if the conversation feels a little gross only because it feels like it's going to be weaponized in some way. That's why I don't like about it, you know? And also because
it's extremely gross. Yes, I agree. And it's also a weird Erica Rinna team up moment, right? It's like,
why are you getting help? You're talking about it.
Yeah, you're talking about it. I mean, you're posting it on Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram. I mean, come on.
Like, wow.
Okay. Yeah, I just feel like, I think also there's the sense that if one of these women were going through a similar challenge and it was just sort of brought up casually on television in front of the group, like if one of them had confided off camera in the other one and then they just said it in front of the group, you know, I don't think they would like that. I think they would actually be angry. I think that Rinna for sure would like lose her shit. They would all go mad. And so they just sort of did that to Crystal. I kind of felt like, man, I just felt like it was shitty.
Oh, there's more. Don't worry. There's more hypocrisy where that came from. So Dorit's like, well, you know, I'm a new friend to Crystal. But when she told me some of those things, I was just shocked. And Rinna's like, well, you can't get better unless you get help. And that is the truth. And Sutton's like, okay, well, maybe she's getting help. We don't know. And she says that she doesn't like when they're talking about someone like that and they're not here listening to them. It feels gross. So Sutton and Garcelle are both like, well, we'll talk to her about it, right? Mm-hmm. So Sutton's like, well, I don't know about this eating disorder, but, you know, we haven't talked about it one-on-one. I just want to stay out of it, you know, because I just don't want to be implicated in someone else's eating disorder. you know, and I haven't called my attorney yet. So I'm just going to stay over here.
Yeah. So now everyone moves to a different table for wine tasting. And there's like a whole wine tasting spiel. And they're like, this is a continuation of the France trip that we took. Iconic, wonderful France trip. Now, okay, here is my tip for Real Housewives or really anyone on Bravo. Like, you can't just suddenly say in one episode, oh, I love wine, here's my wine, if you have no track record of drinking wine all the time. It just doesn't work. I'm sorry. Stick with the Rinna Beauty. That was the thing you launched. But you can't do the thing where you just out of nowhere, like, oh, yeah, I love wine, here's wine. Cynthia Bailey did this. With her,
this is
with
just her peach. Revenge wine, you know? It's like, come on, stop acting like you were in Provence mixing your own wine, okay? You're slapping your label on somebody else's bullshit. Anyway, Rinna Beauty's doing well. I mean, I read that just got into the Amazon, so, you know.
I believe that.
I just don't like the petty rosé. It's stupid, you know? Yeah. It's like a stupid thing. You won, okay? You already won that one. So, Garcelle spills on Sutton's outfit, and they all crack up, and they're basically just getting drunk, and they all agree that they like the rosé, but that the brut needs more work. And
which is their way of saying the brut sucks, by the way. Brut's almost there. It's almost there. Yeah, it's almost. I'm like, it sucks. That's what that means. In Beverly Hills speak, the brut sucks.
Yes. So there, Garcelle asks for food. She's like, you're going to feed us, right? She goes, oh, pizza and charcuterie. Really? Pizza and charcuterie? Make an effort here. You're selling your wine. So Cherie is like, oh, the pizza's made. Did Harry make the tomato sauce? And Garcelle's like, of course he did. Have you had his sauce? If you did, I hope you sent a 5-page fucking thank you note the next day.
Okay. So then Dorit is like, she turns to Garcelle and is like, listen, G. No, you, G, that's me being short for Garcelle this time. It's not, I didn't have epiphanies. I have a friend and he's into you. He's been asking me for the past couple of years that he would love to meet you, and he thinks you're the most beautiful woman in the world, and he would love to chain you to his radiator and experiment with a lady for the first time in his life. Would you be interested in him?
Well, he's been asking for a long time, but I didn't want to put you together because your initials are already the same. He's Boy George and you're Bully G.
Do you believe in karma and or chameleons?
And Rinna, by the way, is just repeating everything Dorit says. She's like,
Garcelle, listen, I have a friend. She has a friend. And he's really into you. He's so into you. He's really into you. Really, really into you. He's been asking about a couple of years. A couple of years he's been asking. He's been asking.
Just nodding.
Dorit says he's really handsome. So Sutton goes, how big is his head? And Eric goes, how big is his wallet? Okay, let's get down to brass tacks. Can he give you some pretty good dick? Yeah.
Well, this is not a man on the prowl just looking to get laid. And Eric is like, no, I am. Wasn't this about me? Yeah, what the fuck? We're talking about Garcelle getting some dick? Where's my dick delivery? Hey, what am I paying for Amazon Prime dick? Am I?
I know, way to take it away from Garcelle. She's like,
yeah, I already had a big head last night. I got a lot down. I've been having a lot of sex. Or as the gays say, I should say, I've been getting some pretty good dick. Yeah!
And Cherie's like, so it's just service. It's not dating. Like, he's providing the service.
And I'm providing one back. Fuck yeah, as Asher would sing. My pussy got run over by a reindeer.
Dorit's like, so, Erica, you're drinking. She's like,
yeah, I'm fucking drinking. I sure am.
She's like, but I thought you weren't drinking anymore.
Well, I can drink now, because once you say chamomile teal, it means you're sober, okay?
So, Dorita's like, she's like,
you know, I feel torn about, you know, asking Eric if she wants to drink or not, because, I don't know, do I let...
That this is when Dorit does her scales of justice thing that she does in her confessionals a lot, you know, where she puts her hands out and goes up and down. She goes,
I mean, I wanted to let loose, but also, you know, should I be worried? Is she going to get a Dewey? I don't know. Scales of justice.
So they,
by the way, there is intense drilling behind me right now. I apologize to everyone.
I think we're just gonna annoy the hell out of people today, and that's just how it's gonna be, because I have to, because my back hurts. I have to use this chair with the back support in it, because it actually helps. And listen, it's like constant creak. I've changed to another chair without the creak, but had to use the creak today. And you know, with the bold talk, guys, I'm sorry, you get what you get. Okay, we show up and what comes out comes out.
Listen, that's not drilling and creaking. That's me getting some good dick, yeah.
Dick, oh dick. Yeah. Hey, God. You know what? I need a chair with some good art support for good dick, yay.
So they all move different positions now. Now, Cherie is talking to Rinna and Sutton over in one area, and Erica and Garcelle go to another. So Cherie's like, Lisa, you are very nurturing, Lisa. Lisa, I just didn't know you were so nurturing. And she's like, oh, really? Because everyone thinks I'm a fucking bitch.
It's funny. I feel like Lisa wants to be known as a fucking bitch, so she started to say, everyone thinks I'm a fucking bitch. But, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess, do people think that Rinna is, like, a fucking bitch? I feel like people just think that Rinna is just, like, Rinna. She just sort of says what other people, she's, like, she takes on the personalities of other people. And so I think that she's, like, really excited to be, like, a badass bitch like Erica's trying to be. So now she's, like, everyone thinks I'm a bitch. People think I'm such a bitch because I'm, like, such a bitch. Here's a cookie. Everyone enjoy a cookie. So
I think she's talking about the audience. Everyone thinks she's such a fucking bitch, because the audience definitely does. But on the show, she doesn't really ever have any problems with people. I mean, she did with Kim, but that was her coming straight for Kim. Kim wasn't just like, you know, I think she's a bitch right off the bat. That was Lisa like trying to go for something with Kim, right?
Yeah.
On the show, she doesn't seem to have that many issues that she doesn't create herself. But off the I think she gets defensive of stuff that's happening on Instagram.
Yeah, that must be what
Because Instagram is a completely different Lisa. I mean, that's a different story. She goes nuts. I mean, she's had like 5 scandals already this season on Instagram that you'll never see or hear about on the show, you know?
Yeah. Well, she gave Cherie a cookie, so Cherie loves her. And then Lorena loves that Cherie loves her. So they're all very happy. So then
we go to Erica and Garcelle, and Garcelle's like, well, Erica, now I love when we had drinks. I was a little taken aback by the whole Sutton is a liability thing. It didn't really hit me until I got home, stared at those gorgeous angel wings, and I said, what the fuck did that mean? And how am I ever going to move these out of my house? They're very, very heavy.
I forgot about those angel wings. So Erica's like, well, I feel like you always have to clean up and take care of her, okay? You were a very good friend to Denise and very loyal to her. And sometimes you stick up for Sutton and you don't have to. She puts herself in some hot water. I mean, how ridiculous is it that you always have to explain your friend and make excuses for your friend and say, no, she's cool. I'm sure she knew nothing about what happened with Tom. How many times do you have to do that for Sutton? It's ridiculous.
Literally what everybody on this cast has been doing for Erica for the past 2 years.
Yep.
So Garcelle's like, well, I mean, sure, sometimes she gets in hot water, but aren't friends there to stick up for you? And she's like, oh, she says some pretty wild stuff, like, sorry, I didn't have a gun put to my head after Dorit did, in fact, have a gun put to her head. And she's like, okay, but I mean, I said that to her. You know what? Can we just invite her over into this conversation? She goes, no. Why would you want to do that? Why? Is she good dick? Then no, I don't want to.
Garcelle's like, because maybe she'll say something that'll change her mind. At that point, Erica should have said, see, you're doing it again right now. You're cleaning up for her. But by the way, this entire season has been about people. This is to add on to what you're saying and to what I was saying before. Everything with Erica drinking, like Erica's being a jerk to Garcelle's son, Erica at the Christmas party, everything is about people being like, well, she's just letting loose. She hasn't been able to let loose yet. Da, 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 da. That is literally all of Erica's personality right now.
Right. So Garcelle's like, well, I come from a big family. It's what we do. You know, do you think I would stand up for you? And Erica goes,
well, I think it would be conditional, but I do feel like you would do more for her than me. And that's okay because you're closer. But I don't think that you would cut me some slack. That's for sure.
It's like, uh-oh, it's business, Erica. And yeah. Garcelle's like, well, you don't think I have cut you some slack?
She's like, no, I think you've been very clear on how you feel about me and everything that happened last year. And I think I've done my best to explain myself, but I don't think that you necessarily believe me.
And I've done my best.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Say, I've done my best to explain myself. Like, for instance, when I told the story about how Tom rolled his car 3 times during a white squall in the middle of Pasadena when there was a thunderstorm and a firestorm, and then all of a sudden, a monster from a different dimension, I think it's called the Upside Down, but it was like the Upside Down for the Upside Down, so it came through 2 different dimensions, and it showed up, and Thor was there, too. Thor came through, it was a whole crossover, hit his hammer on Tom's car, cock, but flipped over, Tom wound up in a tree. It was terrible. So, I mean, I feel like I explained that pretty well.
Well, I agree with you. I don't know that I believe in everything that you're saying. And Mary, I loved that, first off. Loved that Garcelle said that. Like, I agree. I don't believe you. And she's like, okay. And then the music just goes, brr. So Erica's like, well, Garcelle has her sights on me. She doesn't want to see my side of anything. She wants to make me the bad guy. What have I done to you? Absolutely. Okay, now I'm going to Erica Dead Voice. Absolutely fucking nothing, except I don't know. Be witness to my life burning down in front of you. So judgmental. The batteries are out on Erica. Change the batteries.
She did watch her life burn down in front of you, and then she saw the way you handled it, and she saw, like, the fact that you seemed to be showing an extreme lack of concern for the victims of what Tom was up to, and she's kind of like put off by that. So yes,
she
you're
doesn't
right,
have
Erica.
Her sights set on you anyway. She let all that stuff from last year go and has been nothing but good to you. All she's done is say, please stop saying fuck you to my kids or whatever. Yeah. And stop trying to fuck the other one when you're wasted.
Yeah.
Dimwit. So Rena's like, oh my god, there's cookies. And so they come back to the group, and Sutton's like, well, I don't like that I've been called a liability as a friend. I don't like that. Oh, Erica, point. I'm going to point and squint. So you really get it, you motherfucker.
Yeah, because Garcelle told her 20 minutes ago that Erica said that. So Sutton goes, if you felt like that, you can tell me that. Don't tell her that. So why am I a liability as a friend? Oh, shit, I just dropped a glass. Okay, I'm a slight liability. Okay, I do break things every now and then. I apologize.
Because she always has to clean up for you, and that's why I said it. She goes, that's called being a friend.
And Erica's like, well, there's me last year, there's Diana this year, there's Rena this year, and she's constantly defending you.
Well, it's like, but Erica, there's you and Sutton, there's you and Garcelle, there's you and
Denise.
So, you know,
literally, so Sutton, yeah, go ahead, sorry.
You and America. So Sutton's like,
you and widows, you and orphans, you have hundreds and hundreds of victims not paid that you're now on screen saying are probably liars about the whole thing, and the fuck off.
So Sutton's like, well, that's called being a friend, motherfucker. So Garcelle goes, why do you guys make me feel bad because I'm a loyal friend? And Erica goes,
well, when you support her and she falls out with one of us, it's always, oh, you guys have to give us some room. Don't be so hard.
I'm like, that's literally the stuff that Kyle says and Dorit says and Rena says whenever they defend you, Erica. So, like, what's fair is fair.
Right, and she goes,
yeah, and listen, she went tit for tat for you, Garcelle. Sutton did.
And she goes, what? What are you talking about? She goes,
the Elton John thing.
So we see the Watch What Happens clip where Sutton is saying, well, you know, at the Elton John gala, I bought a table and invited Lisa and Harry to sit at my table, and I never got a thank you for that. Okay, you know, but didn't you go at Crystal 5 seconds ago telling every, like, is that tit for tat for whoever she's, I mean, what are you talking about, Erica?
Right.
She, and the question was about the thank you card. Do you think that Garcelle should have been in trouble for that not saying thank you? And Sutton said, well, I didn't get a thank you when I did something nice for Rena. She's answering a question.
Right. And by the way, problem. That Sutton moment was like basically light shade. And the fact that Rena has become so butthurt about it is just Rinna is the one who's made it into more of a thing than it really is. Like, Rinna should have just seen it was just like light shade. And what she should have said was, like, here is, she should have done like a snarky thank you note or something. I don't know. It doesn't even matter. But like, Rinna is the one who's turned into, this is an embarrassment for everyone involved. So,
and
so
Erica says, yeah, well, Rinna's never tried to embarrass or hurt anybody, but you did. You did. And by the way, Rinna and Erica are looking at each other this whole time, you know? Like, there's so me and my sister making up plays when we were little kids. It's like, your turn, your turn. Yeah. Like, subtle kids, subtle.
So, so then Sun's like, yeah, because then Dorit is like,
do you go onto national television and try to fuck them, humiliate them?
I'm like, well, should we go back to the crystal conversation you guys just had? You know,
on national television.
Happened. Yeah.
Sutton's like, well, I had no idea of the capacity of hurt that would ensue from that little comment. She's like, it hurt. It hurt. It hurt so much. It hurt a lot. She's like, okay. And Erica's like, yeah. And it hurt Harry. It hurt Harry. It did. And it hurt Lois. It hurt that bird. Sorry, Lois. She's sorry, Lois.
And Rinna's like, there's a reason why you want to hurt me. There is. And you gotta figure out why it is. You gotta figure out why it is. I was like, well, I didn't see that much introspection when you guys went after Vanderpump, but that's fine. So then she's like, think about it for 5 seconds, okay? And Sutton goes, I don't think you need to cuss like that. Because you're, oh, 5 fucking seconds. You don't need to cuss like that because that seemed angry. And you're the one who's angry at me. And we talked about forgiveness. And it doesn't sound like you've forgiven me. I did it in a flippant moment. I had just made some chicken salad and was riding that high, okay?
It wasn't flippant. It wasn't flippant. I was like, oh, the blogger in me was like, yes. Flip it, shout out. And Sutton was like, it was. And you know, Lisa, you're very funny because we had our lunch and that went very differently than right now. Because let's not forget that 10 minutes ago, Rinna was like, you know what, Sutton, I just need to move on from all of this. Yeah. I just want to be friends again. And now Rinna's like, I'm so mad you hurt me so deeply. So we see a clip of that. And Rinna's like, well, it hurt me. And Sutton says, well, I kind of knew that once we got here and that you had, it's just, what, an audience, and I would play it up for the audience? No, it's about you. You did it. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba-da. Time step.
Give my regards to Broadway. Remember me on Herald Square. I do not play things up for an audience. Not at all.
So she's like, well, you can't forgive me, I guess. She goes, but you did it. You did it. Well, listen, I want you to, because I do like you, Lisa. She goes, oh, you do like me? Oh, I do like you, Lisa. And she's like, but I do, Lisa. I think you're a good person. Some days. She goes, oh, you know what? No, you don't respect me. You don't respect. And then she starts going on her Rinna crazy for no reason.
Yeah. And she's basically like, she's basically tells us that she is still pissed off about this whole thing because she feels like there's an injustice about it, right? She feels like there was a spitefulness, you know? And so Sutton keeps saying, like, you were very different at lunch. You really were. And everybody goes, I have talked so fucking nasty behind your back. And you should know it's going to come. It's going to come. And then we see a montage of Rinna talking shit about Sutton for 3 months. And Rinna basically is like, you know, I wish Sutton would just say that she said what she said out of spite. She wanted to hurt. It's like I want her to say, I wanted to hurt you because you hurt my friend Garcelle. That's what Rinna wants to hear.
But she hasn't denied that. Of course, that's why she said it. She made a sarcastic comment and a joke about you not saying thank you when you spent the whole year trying to get a thank you out of Garcelle. And the only reason that Garcelle's storyline came up is because Garcelle confronted you about how you were treating Denise. And then all of a sudden you were like, well, you know what? You never said thank you to Harry for sauce. That whole thing was a distraction storyline in the first place. So the fact that you're still here swinging it around like a dead cat is just obnoxious, lady. And let it go.
And how many, like, spiteful moments did Rinna have in the whole Denise thing? You know, that she never
ultimately admitted. The whole thing was her. yeah, being spiteful. Yes. Yeah. So Rena's like, you get the, you know what? You get the fuck out of my house. If you're going to talk to me like this, you should leave. Ah! And Sutton's like, oh my God, the soap actress in Rena never leaves her body. It would take an exorcism to get that soap actress out. And Rena's like, come after me as much as you want, but do not bring up my children or my husband and the story. No one will bring...
What are you talking about?
Literally nobody brought up your husband or your children.
I will fucking hunt you down! Is everyone clear? I'm actually less clear now. I don't know what you were talking about. So Sutton's like, is that a threat or a promise? She goes, it is a fact. Okay, if you're not clear, ask me more questions. Sutton goes, okay, question number one. Have you ever considered signing up for vending machine refills in Georgia? Because I think that would fix a lot of this situation. Okay,
get out of my house if you're going to talk to me like that. Okay, question number two. Have you ever heard a wolf cry to a flute? Full-blown moon. What are you, Pocahontas? Get the fuck out of here.
Question number three. Where have all the cowboys gone?
Get the fuck out of my house. So also, Sutton doesn't leave. She just sits there, which I thought was really funny. She's like, listen, I can only apologize so many times, and I am sorry if I humiliated you 100%, okay? And she's like, you tried to humiliate me. You tried to humiliate. Listen, you tried to Huma Abedin me. And I was like, whoa, whoa, you're not getting closer. You're not getting closer to the world.
But you know what? In my drunkenness, you did. I'm drunk. And I will say it because that red and rosé is just so good. It's just so good. But you tried. But you didn't. Because you have looked like a fucking fool when you did it. Okay, you humiliated yourself and me and Harry and the charity and Elton John and Elton John's glasses and that guy who's always with Elton John, David something another. You've embarrassed all of them. Every single one of them.
You better get ready. You better get ready for that. Because that's the truth. Ah! I was like, what are you even talking about? You don't even make any fucking sense. And everybody there is just looking at her like, this is so awkward. Except for Erica, of course. Erica's sitting back nodding like, yeah, we gotta. We gotta. Yeah, you too.
Yep.
Great job, you fucking weirdos. So next week, we get to see PK go to get some gum work. So, should be
fun. Exciting. Yeah, new teeth. Who dis? All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening and watching. We appreciate it always. We'll be back tomorrow with another Crap Is On Demand for Southern Charm. And, of course, there'll be a bonus episode as well up today or tomorrow. So keep an ear out for that. Thanks so much for being here. We'll catch you on the next one. Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
We talk to her daily, it's Kaylee.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
She's our queen, Marie Levine.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser is Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, it's Jennifer Corcoran.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite
McMurdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Paging Paige Mills, Paging Paige Mills.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Better do what she says, it's Elva Enriquez.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Kristen, the Ruby Rubano.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.